You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. Joining me, number three in your program and number one in your hearts, Trevor Gebhardt. Trevor, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ross. This is December football, and this is where we thrive, so I look forward to this matchup.
Yes, December football, playoff football, blue blood football from the FCS perspective. You start thinking about the FCS programs with national championships that are actually still in the subdivision, and the list gets pretty thin. So this is one, obviously, with NDSU lining up against Montana. That's a very exciting matchup for historians of the subdivision and an exciting matchup for folks looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon. Hitting the news, very, very, very cool. Cody Mock and Hunter Lipke are named to the Senior Bowl First Team All-America offense. Cody, obviously, on the offensive line, and Hunter, the first team fullback. Very cool because it spread, or it went across all of Division I football. It was not just an FCS honor. They were basically named First Team All-Americans by the Senior Bowl across all of college football, which is certainly, I believe, an honor that both players deserve. I believe that Cody is the best player in FCS football and probably one of the best 25 or 30 overall players in college football, period. He is playing at that level. Home teams dominated the first round of the FCS playoffs, and kind of to that effect, Trev, if you want to jump into the news here and give your take, your take on the controversy surrounding UND's bid situation, where the Fighting Hawks allegedly offer almost three times as much during the bid process than Weber State. Weber State, the committee kind of saying, well, some of it's about team performance, some of it is about, player experience. Didn't look like a great player experience in front of about 800 people in Ogden, Utah. But your take on the giant bid fiasco drama of 2022?
Yeah, I'll try to isolate it to that and then not try to pull in their own financial issues that they got going on with the hockey side of things. But no shortage of news out of Grand Forks lately in athletics, most certainly. But to be pretty blunt here, they got shafted. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, because the way that it was perceived that the committee was awarding home games in the past for the FCS playoffs was based solely on the bid. It's they would select a field, they would put the 24 best teams in it. And out of the 16 teams that were playing over Thanksgiving weekend, the eight that were hosting were the eight highest bidders. I think that was pretty unanimous and consensus as far as my understanding. I know that was mine. And when you bid the amount that they did, in general, you were a safe bet to get a home game in the past. And I'm sure that's what they predicated their bid on. Or base their bid on, rather. That clearly didn't happen, and it got kind of, forced as far as what that decision-making process entailed, and that there was these other factors that also did not seem to be accurate because of what you just said, and that there's 500 people in the stands. Like, as much as we like to make fun of UND on this pod, just by the sheer nature of the rivalry or lack thereof, if we want to say that, I like to think that there have been more people in the tin barn in Grand Forks than there was at Weber State. So very weird situation. I Weber maybe deserved a home game because if they should have deserved a seed. You have that argument in there too. But if that's the case, just come out and say it. And UND being the unfortunate non-beneficiary of that, it's just kind of unfortunate that those kids could have potentially been robbed of an opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where they're at as far as, basically the debate of, well, did they deserve it? I think it has a lot more to do with, is Weber State the ninth best team in the field? Or better than that, potentially. Look at like the Vegas lines, Weber State, Montana State is, despite Montana State being a high seed, Weber State, Montana State is the closest spread that they have. And ultimately, I think Weber State probably was a top eight team in the country. You look at their close losses, and we'll get to some of that, but like they were able to beat this Montana team. They were able to win games against good teams. They felt like they were one of the best eight teams in the country. And so, yeah, we do deserve a home game. And it's like, well, historically, you bid $43,000. You don't actually get a home game. The other school does. So interesting to watch there. Another thing that I found interesting is just Coach Cignetti and JMU offering Marquis Siegel. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but there does certainly seem to be, kind of a periscope at North Dakota State's program when kids hit the portal that JMU is waiting there for them.
Yeah, I think this has more to do with maybe with the back history behind it and what Mike Houston was establishing at that program, who of course was the head coach of James Madison in 2016 when they knocked off NDSU in the semis. Is they were trying to build their program and mimic it for what NDSU has done. And, based off perception, when you're looking at it from a very high level overview, I think that coaching staff probably feels the kids that they would think are a good fit for their program would be like that NDSU mold. So when you have kids that have FBS type ability, I think they're naturally going to offer them just by nature of knowing the program and having experience playing them and not, being able to beat them. Naturally, you think, okay, these kids played at that program. They beat us. We're going to automatically have a better football team because they fit the culture and theoretically they have better players because they beat us more often than not. So I get it. It makes sense. It does provide an interesting dynamic, especially now when you have Phoenix Sproles, of course, being committed to JMU. And then now there's another individual who's been offered by them. It'll be interesting to see where Marquise ultimately decides to go. I think he has very good ability to play at a multitude of FBS programs. So I'll be curious to follow where maybe additional offers come even beyond JMU.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Interesting to always to follow the portal. And on the other side of the ad break here, we'll talk about NDSU's potential forays into the portal as well. Folks, check out Tundra Mania in the Horace Community Senior Center in Horace, North Dakota on Sunday, December 11th. The Vikings play at noon. Doors open at 3:30. Show begins at 4:30. This will be an all-ages event. Tundra Insurance and Below Zero Wrestling bring you Tundra Mania. See your favorite BZW wrestlers in action, plus a few surprises. Folks, kids 5 and under are getting into this show for free. Should be an awesome afternoon with the family. We will wrap up the show plenty before bedtime. There will be some Christmas-related surprises that we are very excited. Big Deck Barbecue doing the food. Wild Rice Bar and Grill doing your favorite drinks. And folks, use code BISONREPORT for 10% off your ticket purchase. That is 1 week from Sunday on December 11th in Horace. Trev, a couple transfer portal opportunities that I think are interesting. Hunter Zenzen is one. His brother Caden's on the roster. His two finalists, and I don't know, sometimes like you'll see a Jalen Suggs commit to Gonzaga out of the Twin Cities and list the Gophers as a finalist, even though they weren't actually being considered, but just kind of a nod to the hometown group. And with Hunter being a Barnesville kid, NDSU certainly 22 miles away would have been the hometown team to give the nod to. But I like to believe, especially with Caden on the roster, that NDSU was a sincere option for Hunter Zenzen. 6'2", 245. Sounds like a potential defensive end to me. Played some linebacker at Iowa State. He'd be pretty big for this linebacker group, but somebody maybe like a Cole Wisniewski that could provide a little bit of depth either place. Your thoughts on Hunter Zenzen potentially being available to come back home?
Well, I think it's a natural train of thought. I mean, he has blood in the program. He's entering the transfer portal. Usually you kind of know where kids stand in terms of if they're going to move up on that spectrum in the portal or possibly down a division. It's not to put a knock on Hunter by any means, but you know, if he's an FBS program, not getting a lot of playing time, he's got a brother at an FCS program that wins a lot. I think it makes a lot of sense for him to do that and get closer to home too. So the pieces seem to line up there. We'll see, obviously, if that comes to fruition, but I think he'd be a phenomenal fit. I mean, the size certainly fits into the scheme well to be kind of on the edge, to be a force. And it's certainly my hopes that him and maybe another individual from Iowa State make their way north.
Yeah, your guy, Blake Peterson, bigger guy. I think 6'5", 265, something like that. Played defensive end. He was a Beersford high school boy out of South Dakota. Has 2 years left. Believe he has graduated from Iowa State. Pro Football Focus giving him credit for 167 defensive snaps. Now, that's obviously not a ton over a three-year career, but it did end up with two sacks, able to put a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, and another guy who's got kind of good size and you know, hasn't worked out for him the way that he probably hoped at Iowa State. Three-star kid, number one player in the state of South Dakota coming out of high school. Like I said, just hasn't worked out the way, but you have a little bit of a history with this young man and think he'd be a good fit.
Yeah, very, very brief history. So when he was getting recruited and he was in high school, I was working at the Riggs Academy, which is, of course, where kids go to maybe get some extra training in one-on-one sessions, varying ages from, I think they start at, you know, 7 to 9 or something like that. And they have flag football, all the way up through like men's league and that sort of thing. But they do a combine for high school kids. So a lot of regional coaches come out, a lot of FCS and Division II coaches, get an extra look at some athletes and they can test out and they do some drills. So it's kind of a good opportunity for kids to do that. And, a lot of sessions that I would run with the wide receivers at the Riggs Academy, Blake would be doing his drills on the side and then also at the combine. And I remember at the combine, he just stuck out and shined. I mean, there was no one even close to how he was testing out, the way he looked, the way he ran around. There was a wow factor. And, you know, I can't remember where he exactly had offers at the time, but I kind of knew he was probably going to be going the FBS route based off the attention that was on him. And the brief conversation I had with him was basically just saying, hey, here's who I am, played at North Dakota State. You know, I know the coach is there, and, you know, if that would ever be an interest, you know, let me know. That obviously was not going to happen, but, you know, sometimes that can leave an impression on a young man. And, you know, if that ends up being the case and he makes his way to Fargo, based off the offers that he does have, you know, I think that'd be a huge win for NDSU and that defense, because this kid is, in my opinion, from when I worked with him a few years ago, he's got the instinct, he's got the right fit for the culture, and the size is certainly one that you take notice of very quickly.
For sure. Just looking to squeeze a little bit more production, and maybe the drop down in competition is what he needs, or maybe the North Dakota State development is what he needs. No,
right.
No disrespect to Iowa State, but NDSU from a strength and conditioning program standpoint, and from a even just a defensive line coaching standpoint, is very high up there in my opinion. Folks, Bison Report Radio Podcast is brought to you by the good people over at Gateway Chevrolet. Get yourself into a new Silverado over at Gateway Chevrolet with four different engine options. I am rocking the 5.3 liter V8 myself. It's got the dynamic fuel management, using all eight cylinders when you need the power and just using four when you don't and you are looking for that great fuel economy. Details at GatewayFargo.com or visit the good people at Gateway Chevrolet on the I-29 frontage road in Fargo. Okay, explain to me why this is different, Trev, because I've been looking at this 6.5-point spread and it's been bothering me all week. I don't understand it. Why is this not the time that North Dakota State destroys a Big Sky foe in the playoffs, specifically destroying a Big Sky foe in the playoffs at home? Tell me why this is different.
I don't know if it's my green and gold lens or just knowing my experience and knowing what these players are going through to play their highest level right now. I truly can't think of a way that that spread doesn't get obliterated. Any given Saturday, anything can happen, most certainly. But the matchup in how Montana State shown that they could run the ball against the Grizz kind of showing how susceptible they could be at the beginning of a game like they did against SEMO, with special teams being the primary reason that they got back into it. SEMO was gassed. I just don't. And that's not going to happen against the Bison. So I have a very hard time and a major struggle to see where that 6.5 is coming from. And I think it's based off perception of NDSU just is not what they used to be. And that tends to be the narrative that folks want to throw around. I get it, but all that is coming from an expectation of them not losing a game ever, and they lose two this year, and that's what a lot of people look at. There's a lot within that that influenced it, that is Bison inflicted, and that traditionally and historically does not happen in December. So coming off a bye, even too, that it is mind-blowing to me. If I'm a betting man, I am putting everything I have and the mortgage for the Bison to cover. So basically, to answer your question, Ross, I have no idea why they would.
Well, it's crazy to me, too, because I just feel like Montana was the last team in the field. You know, mm-hmm. I think Matt Larson or somebody from the committee said like UND was the last team in the field, or UND and one other team was the last team in the field. But, man, by any expert that you listen to, whether it was, you know, Sam Hurd or Craig Haley, anybody that was around, you know, doing radio spots, writing, like, people just didn't even expect Montana to be in this field. Then they get down 24-3 to SEMO. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that they kind of got the crap scared out of them there?
I mean, I guess we'll find out, really. I think for Montana coming into a new week and a new round and having to travel, I do think that's a bad thing because you are having to exert so much and you're not going to return a punt and a kickoff the following week based off just statistically.
Well, and NDSU is a better special teams unit than SEMO too.
Yeah. They have more size and speed, and those occurred when SEMO was just, I mean, they were just gassed. You could see it happening in real time. And I don't think it is a good thing for them that they got down, because you tend to maybe press a little bit more. You get highly emotional. It's very exciting to make a comeback like that. And now you got to turn around and play a team that's had a week off. That's going to quite frankly come out and just punch you in the mouth right away. And that could set them back. And if they get down 24-3 against the Bison on the road, you know, good night.
Yeah. Lucas Johnson's I think the one guiding light for me for Montana. Like, if there's hope, it's on the arm of the quarterback. I've been impressed with him. I like his size, 6'3", 2.25". He's got NFL size, able to move around a little bit. I think he's up over 300, close to 400 yards rushing. He's not necessarily an option quarterback or Vince Young or anything like that, but he has the ability to move around. He has the ability to keep you honest. I think even more than a Tommy Schuster or like a Nick Baker, I think he's a legitimate run threat. He's also an impressive player from the standpoint of keeping – kind of control the football. 7 picks this year, only 12 turnover worthy plays. I've been impressed with his ability to really hold on to the football, to protect the football while still pushing it down. He's a 7.4 yards per attempt guy. He's not dinking and dunking. He's bombing the ball down the field. And I think, you know, like I said, if you've ever watched a team have success against North Dakota State, even in the playoffs, it's the quarterback's going to move around a little bit and cause issues. And I think if, like I said, if I'm building up a script for Montana to have a real chance in this game, I think quarterback Lucas Johnson's got a big part in it. He having spent time with Georgia Tech and with San Diego State as well, having kind of moved around the college football landscape.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're spot on in terms of given NDSU's defense fits traditionally and primarily has come from running quarterbacks. I don't think he's a burner, you know, by any means, but he's certainly used in the run game and can be very effective within it. You know, you just can't let him get loose. So I don't know if that means it's a spy type of scenario where you just make sure someone's with him and can run with him so he doesn't get loose. But as long as he is contained for the most part and doesn't get loose and you get a lead on him, I think he's going to find a way to give you the ball at least once or twice. He's got a good arm. I think he can push it downfield like you had mentioned. It's kind of like what old Chuck Woodson said about Jay Cutler. You know, Jay's going to throw you the ball. I think if the Grizz get down early, he's going to find a way to do that maybe once or twice, and you just got to capitalize on it. You know, but if his legs get loose and he gets confident early, you know, it could be a dogfight. And those are the things that NDSU just needs to make sure that they're on their P's and Q's and keeping an eye out for early.
Big question this week, Trev, is which Montana defense is going to show up? You've got games of 0, 7, 0, and 7 from that defense. Also games of 55 allowed, 31 allowed, and 30 allowed. And that, if I am a Grizz fan, that's what terrifies me, is I just watched this club in a must-win rivalry game give up a 50-burger to Montana State. Yeah. And that worries me with the Valley's number one scoring offense holding court in their home field.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on there. Anytime I'm looking at matchups or trying to figure out, okay, who fits in where, I look at comparable teams, and the natural correlation here is Brent Vegan, obviously having come from North Dakota State and what he just did to Montana. That's a rivalry game. Those are the type of games that are always close no matter what. And that game was over from Jump Street. And knowing how physical NDSU is up front, how big they are up front, I totally foresee a mismatch in that regard and just being able to control the clock and the ball. And this is very much a, the ball is the program type game. Just don't fumble it. Keep the yards and chains moving. The score is going to take care of itself very quickly. So matchup wise, it definitely bodes well for NDSU, especially coming off a bye, because you start jamming it down their throat the way Montana did with that dual quarterback system. It's going to be hard for them to play catch up the whole game. So,
yeah, I think you can really stress Montana offensively if you do what I think North Dakota State is capable of doing against this defense. Folks, if you are in the market for insurance, and everybody that drives a vehicle or owns or rents a home is, check out Tundra Insurance on the main drag in Horace. Talk to my guy, Quinn Allo, at 701-969-1661. If you're doing business with an insurance company and their name is over the door, the one product they sell, you're taking a gamble. And that gamble is that one product that that company sells, that one product that that agent is showing you, is the best possible plan for your family, for your business, for whatever it is that you've got going on. And if not, you got to go check with 6, 7, 8 of those people to make sure you're getting the best price, the best coverage for your business, for your family. Don't do that. Have Quinn do that. Quinn's not a busy guy. Give him something to do. Have him shop around for you. Find you the best price. Find you the coverage that you need. Find you the coverage that your business needs. Check him out. TundraInsurance.com. Tundra Insurance on Facebook. Tundra Insurance on Twitter. Or as I said, 701-969-1661. Very close losses, Trevor, to still alive and highly thought of team, Sacramento State. That was an overtime game in Weber State. I'll kind of put these two points together. If you believe in the Big Sky, then you can believe in this Montana team, because they have been as close as you can get to the top of that league, with the obvious exception of getting absolutely spanked by Montana State. And I think this is a big barometer game. Like, if you listen to the bench warmers, guys, and if you guys, you know, if you folks aren't listening to the bench warmers, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to the bench warmers, guys, and this is another just biblical ass kicking of the big sky, I think you could call into question like the quality of the entire conference, just because this Montana team, yeah, it's a four loss team. I understand that, but they've been in every game. They are of similar quality to the teams at the top of their league. And so if NDSU is able to blow these guys out, I think you definitely start to wonder about that game, you know, potentially in Sacramento in the semifinals.
Well, that's very true. So I, before the playoffs started and the matchups came out, I know a lot of people were upset about the draw that Montana State got and getting Weber and whatnot. But I want to say on Sarigan that Montana is ranked higher than everyone in the Big Sky except Montana State. And actually, thinking back to it, I want to say I was highly shocked, because I want to say, and someone can look this up for me, maybe, and I want to say maybe they were like one ahead of Montana State. Montana was ahead of Montana State in the Sarigan ratings. And that, to me, I was mind-blown by. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe that's what this whole spread is predicated on, is the computer rankings. But if NDSU does come out and beat the brakes off of Montana and does something similar to Montana State in the run game, I think you are going to start to take a look at Sac State and go, okay, number one, how are they playing against Richmond? And then is that a legitimate semifinal threat? And if they do end up making it through there, how does North Dakota State fit in with that on the road? And do they just do the same thing because, you know, the quality of opponent is essentially the same between Montana and Sac State? So as far as where the rest of this playoffs is going to play out by conference, I think this game will be a very large telltale within that, because of what the committee did with NDSU and SDSU, and given the top, you know, quartile of the Valley, kind of a nod, and then matching up Montana State with Weber State. So we'll see how it plays out. It is what I anticipate. That's probably a little bit of a bias coming in. But if Montana does in fact hold it close to NDSU, maybe you are looking at a deal where we have, you know, two Big Sky teams and two Missouri Valley teams in the semis. I guess time will tell. Do I believe in the Big Sky? Maybe like Montana State, Weber State. I think the winner of that game makes it to the semis, and I'll probably give South Dakota State a good game in Brookings. Barring they take care of business, of course, but, I think even in our playoff simulcast pod, we talked about that the Big Sky and the Valley were going to be the two at the end. So,
yeah, it's crazy. You mentioned Montana 84th in Jeff Sagarin's ratings, Montana State 87th.
Okay. So yeah, that was correct. Yeah. So that still holds true. I don't understand how that thing is fully calculated. I know strength of schedule is a large factor in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that has a large influence in it, but because I know Montana State avoided a couple of teams in the Big Sky this year, but So I think that's probably the biggest influence, because obviously the results on the field spoke for themselves in the Brawl of the Wild game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a classic Big Sky team, and it's interesting. Ron Dobrovich, and I had actually had this thought, and will verbalize this thought tomorrow on the Bison Report show on Bison 1660 as part of the pregame for NDSU football on that radio station. Montana reminds me a lot of UND. I think Lucas Johnson is a better player than Tommy Schuster, but other than that, very similar. Montana's a little bit bigger up front, maybe, but also not super talented in the back end. Everybody loves Robbie Houck, but Robbie Houck is kind of slow as far as like coverage. His numbers in coverage are not good. His grades in coverage are not good. He's a high-level tackle guy. Your guy, Colton Hegel, that's who Robbie Houck reminds me of. Tackles, but you get him, you know, on a Tyler Lockett type, and it might not be the greatest thing ever. This is a Montana team that offensively reminds me of UND, though, in that their offensive line is mediocre, but the skill players, I think, are pretty good. I was not impressed with any of UND's offensive linemen with Willetsko gone. I'm not impressed with any of Montana's offensive linemen. I am, though, impressed with Osmo, and I'm impressed with Roberts and Flowers. They have real guys on the outside, and that's the straw. It's very opposite of the way that North Dakota State is this year, especially after the exoduses, you know, from the portal, where you lose DJ Hart, you lose Dom Ganella, you're not going to have Hunter Lipke. The Bison are built by, okay, we have such a good quarterback and such a dominant offensive line, or good two quarterbacks, whatever you want to say, but mm-hmm. the quarterback position is so awesome, and the offensive line position is so awesome, that we will have whatever Joe Schmoes we want at the five skill positions, and we will succeed. Montana is the opposite of that. The Joe Schmoes are on the offensive line, and it's the skill guys that are going to make the difference. And I think that's a terrible matchup from an NDSU perspective, because even without Marquise Siegel, you have absolute dogs in the back seven for the Bison.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a wear them down game, and this is how and why championships are won in December. You just keep wearing people out. As long as you have the guys on the edges in that regard that can still go and punch them in the mouth, so to speak. I know that's how, you know, I can only speak as far as like, that's how we did it when I was there. You know, I mean, yeah, we were good athletes, but I think athletically, if we got into a decathlon or a track meet with a lot of these teams that we beat in the playoffs, we would get smoked, or if we played 5-on-5 basketball. But the beauty of this is you're playing football. You're still got to play the sport. So even though if you have the athletes there, like Montana kind of does, as long as you have cats on the edges that can continue to wear them down, mentally that's deflating. And if you can continue to abuse them in the run game and you get up on them, over time, those cats in the back end for Montana will get frustrated and they'll get worn out because they're trying to play catch up and they're trying to press. And that's how December football is won. So matchup wise, it's great for NDSU. Very classic, you know, December-esque football type game for the Bison. So that's what's encouraging to me. I do think it's fun. It's kind of more of a blue blood. But again, you know, Montana is also not what they used to be either. So I don't think we can understate that enough, but.
Yeah, and I think the biggest issue, and we'll kind of move towards our game predictions, but that's for me where I see this thing is Montana not being able to slow down NDSU. I don't think Montana is going to be able to keep North Dakota State out of the low 40s or the really high 30s. And as much junk as anybody would ever want to talk about this Bison defense not being up to snuff, the defensive line maybe not being, you know, what they have been. They only let one team into the 30s, and that was a pretty decent 5-7 Arizona team in the Pac-12. An Arizona team, by the way, that scored points on everybody.
Yeah.
And beat UCLA and did a lot of things. I don't think they're going to let anyone in the FCS playoffs into the 30s, and I don't see how Montana keeps them out of the 30s, and that is where I struggle, is I just don't think that Montana can slow down this Bison offense.
Well, so how many rushing yards did Montana State have against them? It was like 500 almost.
I'm sure it was terrible.
I think I want to say it was in the fours.
Because 55-21, and it's not, they're missing that that big play wide receiver from a year ago, Montana State is.
Right.
Yeah, 439 yards on the ground, 6.8 a carry. And they do struggle, and that's, you know, Zach Willis, I think, said on the bench warmers that this could be a Cole Payton game. Tommy Mellott actually led Montana State in rushing with 15 carries and 141 yards. They specifically struggled, at least in that game, against the QB run, and I thought the game really turned, and obviously the special teams were a huge part of it, but I think the SEMO quarterback got hurt and became basically immobile, and that allowed Montana's defense to not have to stress about his ability to move at all. And I think this Montana, and I'm looking at a one game sample size here, but I'm looking at a team that, you know, you don't have to just have Cole Payton do the running. We found out that with the five pack of snacks from Mr. Cam Miller. So
yeah,
that could be a specific matchup issue for the Grizz in this one.
Yeah, it's not that, it's not like Sevens on athletic, folks.
No.
All right. I think he proved that a couple weeks ago. But Yeah, I would anticipate, just based off kind of the Tommy Mellott, and I can't remember the other quarterback's name at Montana State, but they were doing some read option stuff with that. So when you got two quarterbacks lined up in the backfield, naturally that's going to put people on their heels, because you can get wildly creative with just within that. And when you got a running quarterback like 15, aka Cole Payton, his first down percentage when he touches the ball is what, 75% plus?
It was high. Yeah, it's it was lot. High. Yep.
It's absurd. So you've got another Tommy Mellott type player for NDSU that can be utilized as a weapon. I would have to imagine there's a very similar package dialed up to go and exploit the same things that Vegan did really, really well at.
Offensively, for me, I think you run your outside stuff away from Hauk. That's the one thing he does well. And that sounds mean, but I mean, that's what he wants to do, is get in the alley, cut down your tailbacks, things like that. And I think you got to shut down Patrick O'Connell on the edge. Obviously, when he's playing right end, he's going to run right into Cody Mock. That's going to be a tough time. But if he lines up at left end, which he does, he does work both ways. That's an interesting matchup for Gray Zabel and a guy that they want to neutralize, as Patrick O'Connell is a big time pressure getter on the edge. Trev, let's wrap this baby up. Hit me with your score prediction.
So I do think you're going to see something similar in terms of time of possession for NDSU, how that converts to touchdowns. You know, if they start scoring quick, that time of possession is obviously going to drop. I'm in the same boat as you, Ross. I don't see under 40 for NDSU, so I'm going 45 Bison, 22 Grizz.
I am right there with you. 45-21 NDSU is my score prediction. I'm sticking to it. I think they get one more field goal than they got against UND. I see this thing going very much in a similar way than the UND game went, and I think the Bison cover that 6.5 or 7-point spread quite easily. Thank you, Trevor Gebhardt, for your time this evening. Thank you to our sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Gateway Chevrolet. Thank you to you all, to all of you wonderful people, for listening to the show. Have a phenomenal weekend, everyone, and go Bison.